Well, let's look at the E and go over to 1 Timothy 4:12. And this is a key verse to go over with our children, to memorize with them as we give them these mile markers of godly parenting. 1 Timothy 4:12 says this: "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word," that's what I say, "in conduct," that's what I do, "in love," that's what I give, because remember, love is giving. God so loved He gave. "In spirit," that's what I feel, "in faith," that's what I believe, and "in purity," that's what I resist. Purity is all about not what you do, but what you don't do. And it's what I resist in the world. How do I do this? Well, look at verse 13 of 1 Timothy 4. Because here becomes a succession of resolves that we should have with our children. We should resolve that I want to be an example in my word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. But how do I do that? Verse 13 says, "Till I come, give attention to reading." A parallel in our lives between our intake of God's holy and life-changing word and our outflow of the energies of our life into what won't matter tomorrow. You know, games and fiction reading and amusements and all those things and media and all that stuff. Those things are basically kind of like leaving lights on in your car. They drain the battery. But the Word of God is what recharges and renews us. And so there should be an equivalence. If we're gonna be in the Word, then we can also do some of these draining things. But if we only do the draining things, it saps our spiritual life. That's why a lot of people feel so insecure and so distant from the Lord, because they don't devour God's Word. Look at verse 14. "I will serve Christ's church." He says, don't neglect your gift. I was just talking to someone recently at this little tiny church where my student and seminary pastor, Jim Stewart, on Cape Cod, and I spoke there last Sunday, and someone came up to me and they said, "I want to serve the Lord, but I can't do anything." I said, "Really, you can't do anything?" And they said, "No, I can't do anything." And I said, "Really?" I said, "You're talking, and that's a spiritual gift." And they looked at me. This person worked for the electric company out there. I said, "You can talk. That's a spiritual gift." Because there are two kinds of spiritual gifts, speaking and serving. "Oh," they said, "I'm not a speaking person." I said, "Then you're a serving person." Everyone is either a speaking gift to serve the church or a serving gift to serve the church, or you speak and serve. So there's three settings. Either you can do all speaking, all serving, or both. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter 4. He said, that's how God gifted the church. Now, there are multiple spiritual gift lists, and you can get 20-some different gifts. But all of them revolve around whether you're going to serve the church or speak in a way that will edify and encourage and bless and nourish the church. And either you're physically helping through serving gifts, or you're verbally helping them through speaking gifts. But all of us should be wanting to serve Christ's church. And you should talk with your children about how to serve the church and how they can increase. The next one, look at verse 15. "I will excel in spiritual things." He says, meditate on these things. "Give yourself entirely to them," he says in verse 15, "that your progress may be evident to all." It should be that I, in my life, am encouraging my children to excel in spiritual things, not merely in temporal things. Now, it doesn't say don't play sports. It says excel in spiritual things as much as you excel in sports. Do you practice as hard for spiritual things as you do for athletic events, for fine arts events, for academic events? I mean, I can't believe, when I got to college, I couldn't believe how many people stayed home from church on Sunday night to study for exams in college. I was in a Bible college. You know what I found? I found if I worshiped the Lord, I could learn more in a half hour, an hour of studying after church than I could messing around all night in the dorms, acting like I was studying and staying home. Now, there's no magic charm to going to church. It has to do with whether my heart is seeking the Lord with all my heart. He will always bless those that seek Him with all their heart. And it just seemed like, and I was in school for over 30 years. Remember that. I was in school a long time, from when I was 6 until, well, I didn't graduate till 99. I was in school for 37 years. So I guess I'm an authority on going to school. Yeah, I was in school a long time. And you know what? God always blesses those that seek Him first. You know anybody who's been in school longer than 36 years? Ask them if they're a Christian, whether God blesses them if they seek Him first. Let your excellence also be in spiritual things. And here's the last one. Look at 2 Timothy 2, the last one of the exemplary life. 2 Timothy 2:22. And this is one we should memorize and we should repeat and we should know and we should meditate on. And that is this philosophy that we should inculcate. "I will run from sin in any form." 2 Timothy 2:22. "Flee also youthful lusts." Why? because they become the sins of old age if you don't. And there's nothing worse than seeing a dirty old sinner that has never fled the sins of their youth. And they no longer have the capacity to fulfill those awful desires, but they still have these huge desires. And they are just burned up from the inside with their lust. Why does Paul say it? Because it's so important to learn. To have an exemplary life, flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness. Pursue faith, pursue love, pursue peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So what should we do? Devour God's Word, serve Christ's church, excel in spiritual things, train and encourage the young ones around us in the Lord, and run from sin in any form. Well, let's look at the Spirit-filled life. Turn back to Ephesians 5, and let's see how to get to the S of our acronym. In godliness, the S of Spirit-filled life, Ephesians 5, 18 to 21, says this, and if you've never marked it in your Bible, verse 18 says, be filled with the Spirit. And starting in verse 21, it speaks of the seven realms of your life the fullness of the Spirit will touch. The first one is, in verse 21, we'll submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit will touch every relationship in our life. Number two, in verse 22, wives will be touched, and they'll be submissive. Number three, in verse 25, husbands will be touched, and they will be submissive. In chapter 6, in verse 1, we see that the one that we should influence our children with, children will be touched. It says, children, obey your parents. And we should get them to make a resolve. And that's the next thing on the slide. I will obey my parents every day I live in their home, and I will honor them all the days of my life on earth. That's a great thing to learn. Obeying your parents. Look what it says. Honor your father and your mother, verse 2, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. How you treat your parents is going to affect you the rest of your life. Children, what you think and how you act around your parents. I'm glad you're all here, those of you that are still awake. How you act and how you behave and what your internal feelings are toward your parents are going to be with you until the day you die. God says there's a spiritual realm you enter into because your parents are God's personal representatives. And if you scoff and mock and if you go behind their back and if you fool them and are deceitful and dishonest and everything else and disrespectful, God said it's going to affect you. What you sow, you'll reap. So what should we do? We should make a resolve. I'll obey my parents every day I live in their home. I'll honor them all the days of my life on earth. Look at chapter 6, verse 5. Here's the fifth relationship, if you're tracking what the Holy Spirit does. Verse 21, we submit to one another. Verse 22, wives are affected. Verse 25, husbands are affected. Chapter 6, verse 1, children are affected. Verse 5 of chapter 6 says, the next point, I will honor my boss at work. That's Ephesians 6, 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters. In the ancient world, we're talking about employer-employee. Servants worked for their masters. They lived and they were fed by them and everything else. Slavery was not quite like in the South 100 years ago. It was more of a commercial relationship. And there were a lot of educated slaves that wanted to be slaves. They were musicians and they were tax and accountants. They're kind of like a lot of our professional people today. And what this says is the Holy Spirit touches you so that you and I will honor our boss. We don't give them eye service. We don't just work hard when they're watching. And we learn to honor them because we're serving them as Christ. Another one, turn back to Romans chapter 13. Here's another area of our spirit-filled living. Romans 13 tells us it's going to lap over into what we do as far as our citizenship and our activities there. I will keep the laws of my country as a testimony of the Lord. That's traffic laws. That's speed limit laws. That's tax-paying laws. That's, you know, safety tag when we used to have our inspection tags when we had those things and renewing all this stuff. Look what it says in Romans 13. We're supposed to be the model citizens of all citizens. Let every soul, Romans 13, 1, be subject to the governing authorities. By the way, when Paul wrote this, the governing authority was a sodomite, wicked, murderous man by the name of Nero. And he said, be subject to the governing authorities. There's no authority, even sodomite Nero, except from God. And whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. God says, I'm the one that raises up and puts down political leaders, not you. Yes, we should exercise our right to vote. But really, behind the scenes, God is orchestrating those who are in power. Actually, more important than voting is praying, if you want to know biblically. I mean, you know, to really be honest, I think Christians have expended a lot of energy in politics and not very much energy in prayer, and what we see is the vicissitudes of our political aspirations. And what really matters is praying for God to have His will done. We should keep the laws of our country as a testimony. And finally, Hebrews 13, turn over there. This is the last part of a Spirit-filled life. A Spirit-filled person is one that lets the Spirit of God permeate their lives, and as a young person, that makes them obey and honor their parents, it makes them honor their employer, it makes them keep the laws of their country as a testimony. But Hebrews 13:17 says also, we should have this resolve and teach our children this: I will honor my leaders at church all my days. That means your Sunday school teachers. That means you don't talk and have to be corrected over and over and over again. It means you don't mock and make fun. It means that you don't ignore and waste their time. It means that you are honoring them. They are a leader to you. And I will honor my leaders at church all my days so that I may someday have the high honor of serving Christ's church myself. Do you ever think about that? Someday you're going to be a Sunday school teacher. How would you like to have that rotten little kid that always interrupts class be just like you were? Wouldn't you rather have them all be listening and paying attention? And I know kids squirm, and I have 8, and I know how much they squirm, but you know what? You should be training your children to be the most exemplary child in Sunday school and in church, honoring their leaders. What does it say in Hebrews 13:17? Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive. What does that word hupotasso mean? It means line up behind them. Come behind them in your obedience to them. They watch for your souls as those who must give an account, so let them do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable.